Good morning. June 7th, 5:57 a.m. It's a lovely day. It's a little bit cooler than yesterday, not a lot. It's a lot drier than yesterday. That makes a big difference in my perception of the temperature. It's obviously sprinkler day. I think I've got this set pretty well covered. I don't believe I'm going to get sprayed too badly. The sidewalk gets pretty wet right along here, but step along. Now I'm going to get it down my neck. There we go. So, good morning. What am I thinking about this morning? Progress. I'm at chapter 101 of this book that I'm reading. I'm halfway. 200 chapters. If I can do 10 chapters a day for 10 more days, I'll have it done. Get it off my plate, and then maybe I can move on to do something else. It's an interesting work, it's a challenging work, it's a depressing work, it's sucking the life out of me, and it's been too long, I can't back out now, I've got to finish it, so. On we go. The netbook is doing well, the new rebuild. I've had some interesting commentary on it, on various comments about Linux. The podcast is the podcast. The audio quality is, by its nature, going to be not anywhere near as good as the podcast that I'm putting out using my big set. But it was never intended to be. It was just a phone call from the sidewalk this morning. That's about what it sounds like most days. Sun is coming up nicely. Sky is pretty much crystal clear. It's quite gorgeous out. Delightfully cool. Yesterday I got up to 96, I think, 98. It was a bit warm around the edges. Today's agenda should include taking the kids to karate class tonight. I'll have to take them over to art camp in a little while. I'm going to be talking to Nick Taylor about getting together a Patio Books tailgate tour along the Front Range here, touring various libraries and doing readings if we can get it arranged. I know Nick is interested, Chris is interested, I'm interested. Let's see if we can find any other Front Range Patio Book people who'd like to participate. I think it would be fun to go visit the libraries and do a reading, talk to people about patio books, and the idea that we've actually got books for sale besides is kind of moot, but I can't imagine we're going to sell enough to make a difference, but we would at least have the opportunity to introduce people who might never hear of us about into the world of patio books. Not to get squished here at the intersection. The only significant intersection on my walk. It has the potential for being fatal. So far I've managed to not get anywhere near that, in part because I move through that intersection on foot way too early in the day for there to be a lot of traffic, But then again, it only takes one. First one, last one, as it were. Oh, yeah. The doves are out in force, cooing away this morning. I noticed that in the recording that I did yesterday morning, there was a mourning dove outside my window, and the microphone picked it up every so often, just ever so faintly, as a mourning dove. When I'm speaking, it doesn't matter, but in the silences between, I had to go through and erase the mourning dove, because it just sounded too weird. I think I got them all. It's so faint, it's really quite hard to tell. Oh, hush puppy. Hush puppy. Little dog thinks I'm going to attack his turf. Not sure I'm thinking about a whole lot this morning. I got a reasonable night's sleep, not a big one, not a great night, but I think 6 hours or so. It was longer than normal, not quite as long as I think I might like, but we'll get by. Might get a nap in today, that would be fun. Got to read 10 more chapters. I've still got to carve up the 10 chapters that I've edited. They need to be in a particular format with a half second of leader and then 2.5 seconds in the between chapter and narration, and then 3.5 seconds at the end. So they require a little bit of finagling. It's not a lot. And I keep 2.5 seconds of ambient noise in my copy buffer. So when I'm going down through to do the daily, the edits, to clean up the edits, I always put in the 2.5 seconds now between chapter headings and the start of narration. So I know those are correct. I really only need to fiddle with the 1/2 second in the beginning and the 3.5 seconds at the end now. So that works out pretty well. It goes pretty quick. I go home, get the podcast uploaded. I'll probably have the majority of the editing work done by the time I have to wake up the kids. That'll still give me 2 hours that I have to wait until I can record or write or do anything, because there'll be people who want to talk to me, at me, with me. Younger daughter is getting ready to go on tour with the chorale. It's a children's chorale. They're going to the Pacific Northwest. Very big deal for younger daughter. She's very excited. She's going to have to change currency. I think she's got a passport. I should probably check that, because if she doesn't have a passport, she's in deep trouble. I know they applied for them. But they're doing a couple of tours, a couple of performances in Vancouver. At least one in Seattle. Should be very much fun for them. And they're really quite good, I have to say, you know, proud father and all, but I'm really not shy about critiquing my own kids' work. Luckily, they are both marvelous, except for their schoolwork, and critiquing their work involves a great deal of pleasure on my part. Yes, I'm raising geeks. It was an interesting panel, the How to Raise a Geek panel at BaltCon. It was late at night, it was 10 o'clock, and there were some interesting perspectives. I'm not sure I agree with all of them 100%. One of the things that does sort of make me go a little bit, is the paranoia about online identifiers, online presentation, the notion that there is this serious threat to kids on the web. And while, yeah, there's stuff out there that I would prefer the kids not get mixed up in, the idea that this is somehow a serious threat, the bugaboo of the predator, the boogeyman under the net, the statistics, the reality, the facts, as near as one can actually determine facts in such a case, are that we're responding emotionally to something that is quite irrational. Most kids have a better chance of being hit by lightning than of getting engaged with a predator online. They are much more likely to win the lottery than get engaged with a predator online. If we're serious about protecting kids, the first thing we want to do in the hospital before they're even released is take them away from their parents. I know this sounds very odd, but the statistics on child endangerment, on child harm, are that of the children that are hurt, and the number is really quite large, 80% of the harm comes from parents, not step-parents, parents, the people who birthed them, the mother, the father, the mothers more frequently than fathers, but the mother and father are the ones that, 80%, 80%. 4 out of 5 injured children are hurt by their parents. So why are we concerned for the 1 in 2 or 3 million who do something stupid, do something bad? An alert parent should have caught well in advance. I understand that the argument that if we can just save one child, isn't it worthwhile? And the answer is not if it harms all the rest. And that's the part that I guess bothers me the most, particularly when it comes to teaching. I hear this in teaching all the time. I hear this from educators all the time. But if it protects just one student, isn't it worth it? Not if it makes every other student stupid. Not if, in the process of protecting the one, we harm a million. That's not a calculus that I'm comfortable with. We're happy with the idea that you've got about a 1 in a million chance of dying in a plane crash, a 1 in a 50,000 chance of dying or being injured in an automobile accident, but the idea that and we don't do a whole hill of beans about either of those two things. We wring our hands, we cry a lot, and we move on. But we'll spend $1 billion to connect every school in the country to the internet, and then spend $2 billion more to make sure that they can't go anywhere or do anything that's useful in order to protect the children. I've already heard from some educators who are fighting the NCLB battle on the backs of E-Rate. E-Rate is the program where the federal government underwrites the cost of internet connections for schools, which is a wonderful program, except that it's a carrot and a stick program. You can't get that unless you follow the rules that the feds require, which involve pretty much blocking everything that an educator might find really useful and leaving only the least offensive, least controversial, least useful tools available for schools that use E-Rate. The No Child Left Behind also holds E-rate hostage as well. So the schools who want to use the E-rate plan have to live up to the rules of No Child Left Behind. And the problem, of course, is that if you follow the precepts of No Child Left Behind, there isn't really time to use the internet anyway, so the E-rate program is kind of stupid. And the notion that No Child Left Behind actually makes a difference in learning, while it does make a profound difference in education, it's quite shocking. When I'm hearing from IT people through my various channels that schools that have not collected E-rate funds for years now, through arrangements with their local access providers, through other kinds of funding to support the connection of the school to the internet, they haven't used an E-rate program for years, are still arguing that in order to stay eligible for the E-rate that they don't use, they need to spend all this money on testing and on filters and on security software, and it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm the NPR piece on psychopaths. Maybe I'm a psychopath. Maybe there's something wrong with me. It's not like I'm putting my kids above. It's not like I expect everybody to be let loose except my kids. I treat my kids very much the same way as I really like see other people treat their kids as people. They're not adult people, but they are people. They're not chattel. They're not something I own. It's a relationship with which I am entrusted. Yep, sprinklers are on this morning. We turned them on with the heat of the day being what it is. The lawns and places are beginning to get a little bit toasted, particularly where I'm shocking the crap out of them by cutting at least half, if not two-thirds, of the blade down because I let it grow too long between cuttings. Now, the question in my mind is, as I approach the back gate, can I get back in without getting soaked? We shall see. Because I am at the back gate, and tomorrow is another day.